Here at the National Ethanol Conference, with me is Bob Dineen, President and CEO of the Renewable Fuels Association. And first of all, Bob, I would like to ask you, what is your what's your feeling about the attendance and the attitude of people at this conference this year?
Well, we're really happy. The attendance was great. The enthusiasm in the room was palpable. I think folks are sober. They realize this is going to be a tough year, but they are also optimistic, and they know we'll meet the challenges ahead.
Now, this was marked the 30th anniversary of the Renewable Fuels Association, 30th year of advocating for ethanol. Tell me a little bit about that, your comments on that anniversary, this milestone that the industry has achieved.
Well, I thought Ron Miller, who was one of the founding members of the association, who we honored with the membership award, really said it best. He said he's in awe of how far we have come for the past 30 years. When the industry began, when this trade association began, we were nothing. We're now 10% of the nation's motor fuel supply. We will produce more than 13 billion gallons of ethanol this year. And it is incredible how far we've come. And yet, Ron's perspective is, he's in awe of the future. He looks at 36 billion gallons that are required by the renewable fuel standard, and he sees how the industry is continuing to evolve, and he is in awe of the road ahead. And that sort of, I think, sums up where this association has always been. We don't rest on our laurels. We continue to grow. We continue to evolve, and we stay ever excited for the future.
And your address, your state of the ethanol industry address, really you started out with a quote from 1981 that could have been written yesterday. Really, it seems like we're still facing a lot of the same challenges, no matter how far we've come.
I, just out of curiosity, when I was contemplating 30 years, looked back at some of the old files, and Dave Hallberg, who was the very first RFA president in 1981, had written a state of the industry memo at the end of the year. And I was looking at it, and I was thinking, oh, my goodness, this describes today. And I wanted to remind people that as they look at the situation we're facing today, with a Congress that looks hostile, with a tax situation that is in peril, with a media that just doesn't seem to get it, we've been here before, and we survived. And that, I thought, was a pretty powerful thing. Dave quoted the comic strip Pogo. He said, the industry is facing insurmountable opportunities. I was really happy when I found it, and I thought it was well-received here.
What would you say would be the main things that you would like people to walk away from this meeting with? What are the main messages?
Well, there are challenges ahead. We're going to be reforming the ethanol tax incentive and maybe the whole ethanol program. Congress needs to be educated. Everybody needs to step up their game, invite their members of Congress to their plants, and make sure that members of Congress are hearing as much from us as they are from our opponents. And two, I think I hope people are beginning to recognize that the industry is going to continue to evolve. The reality of cellulosic ethanol production, companies that are now joining this group, that are going to be breaking ground and constructing facilities and moving this industry forward, really speaks well for the industry, well for the association, and I believe well for the country, as it really does assure that there will be renewable energy supplies to displace more and more energy as a result of the innovation, the technology, and the hard work of the people in this room.
Well, speaking of that, the new Advanced Ethanol Council just announced as part of RFA last week. What are your hopes and dreams for that new council?
Well, I hope to be able to help them focus their policy objectives. I hope to be able to expand and amplify their message about being able to grow and evolve this industry. I think first and foremost, I want people to understand that cellulosic ethanol is here now. No, it's not in the volumes that we want, but it's here now. It's not a technological issue. The challenge today isn't how do we make it work, it is how do we get these things financed. And that's not a bad place to be. And so, well, I'm very excited about the Advanced Ethanol Council. I'm excited with the leadership that they have. I'm excited to be a part of it. I think it really does speak volumes for where this industry is going, where this trade association is going.
Well, going back to Congress, I wanted to get to your comments on just a couple of recent developments that happened just while we're right here, at this meeting. And one is, one was the House vote on the continuing resolution and how they voted to not fund EPA's going to E15 there. What do you think about that? Is this a harbinger of things to come? How does that make you feel when you saw it? Because I know you watched that vote live.
Well, first of all, it made me feel tired because it was 2 o'clock in the morning my time. And it just, says something about my life that I was watching C-SPAN at that hour. But three things. One, it's not going anywhere. This isn't going to have any traction in the Senate. It wouldn't have any support from the administration. This, was something that some oil state representatives got a lot of frenzy about, and it took on a life of its own. Two, it was not a very well-informed debate. Anything that's happening on the floor of the House at 2 o'clock in the morning probably doesn't have very much serious attention. There was, in fact, a total of 6 minutes of debate, 3 minutes aside on this. And even the sponsor of the amendment himself didn't really understand what it was because he kept talking about a mandate for E15. Well, heck, I'm not sure I support a mandate for E15 either. So I wouldn't get too caught up in the fact that, the Congress at 2 o'clock in the morning after 6 minutes of debate did this, because it really didn't reflect where Congress's view on ethanol will be when presented with all the facts. But number three, I still want it to be a clarion call for this industry that we've got to do our work. And even if a debate is happening at 2 o'clock in the morning, members of Congress have to be up to speed enough not to be doing things on the fly. At 2 o'clock in the morning, they're not going to have a staffer to turn to and say, what should I be thinking about on this issue? Their staffers are long since, gone to bed. So they better have themselves a good understanding of how important this industry is. So I really want it to be a wake-up call to everybody. Get to your members of Congress and educate them.
Finally, a big issue here while we were here is the continuing unrest in the Persian Gulf. And, of course, we saw oil prices shoot up this week. What do you think that means for us here in the future going forward, especially for this year?
What I want it to mean is that people start getting a little bit more serious about our energy policy and try to look a bit ahead. Usually we react, when it was $140 a barrel of oil. Oh, okay, what are we going to do? We're renewables. We just can't turn things on a dime. When I heard Tom Klaza from Opus indicate that he saw the possibility, if unrest in the Middle East continues, that we could have $500 a barrel of oil, from analysts like that, that shook me to the core. And I hope that public policy officials recognize the peril that we are putting ourselves in by continuing to be reliant on a resource in a very volatile and increasingly hostile part of the globe.
Bob Dineen, President and CEO of the Renewable Fuels Association, wrapping up another National Ethanol Conference here in Phoenix. I'm Cindy Zimmerman.